Next case for argument is number 22-1058, Roku Incorporated against Universal Electronics Incorporated. Mr. Milliken.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The issue in this appeal is simply stated. Does Chardon's database of CEC command codes and IR command codes render obvious the claimed listing comprised of at least a first communication method and a second communication method? Since everyone agrees that CEC and IR are communication methods, the answer has to be yes, and the Board's contrary finding should be reversed. Now, the Board, in reaching its conclusion, relied on the fact that a command code standing alone is not the same thing as a communication method, and that's true, but the Board missed a critical point. Chardon doesn't just disclose a list of command codes. It tells us that its database includes a list of IR command codes and a list of parallel CEC command codes, and Chardon can choose to send one or the other depending on which communication method it prefers to use. And so this list has both the command codes and at least two different communication methods by which those codes can be transmitted. And an analogy may help to make this point. Suppose I tell my travel agent I need to get from DC to New York tomorrow morning. So she sends me an email and says, here's a list of Amtrak train numbers and a list of Delta flight numbers that are going from DC to New York on November 4th. I think that as a matter of just sort of normal English usage, you would say that that list of train numbers and flight numbers includes two different transportation methods. And so it is with Chardon. Chardon's list of CEC command codes and parallel IR command codes renders obvious the claimed listing of two different communication methods.
I want to interrupt you for a minute. I think what the Board did here was, it was very technical. And it's, you know, you would argue hyper-technical, I bet.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Reading of the claim terms, communication methods versus command codes. And so if you did ask for a list of travel methods and what you got was a list of flights, I mean, that might not answer what your list of communication or travel methods are, right?
I take your point, Your Honor, but the Board agreed and UEI conceded below that the claimed listing does not have to include the literal names of the communication methods in it. So it is not required that the list have the literal phrases like CEC, IR, RF.
What about the fact that the reference itself says that they're command codes and doesn't say they're communication methods? Again, you know, just relying on the words of the claim. And there's expert testimony too.
Well,
I'm just presenting to you what would be the substantial evidence to support the Board's fact finding, and I want to make sure you respond to it.
I understand your question, Your Honor. It is absolutely true that a command code and a communication method are not the same thing. But what is also true is that Chardon discloses a list that it tells us includes both CEC command codes and IR command codes. And Chardon is able to identify which ones are which because it chooses, you know, I'm going to try a CEC command code first, and then if that doesn't work, I'll send an IR command code. And so our point is that given that it's common ground that the claim doesn't require the listing to include the literal names of the communication methods in it, then Chardon's listing of CEC and IR command codes necessarily discloses the claimed listing. I think that the only way...
Is this a single reference obviousness argument?
It is, Your Honor. We had a couple of optional secondary references, but I don't think they're necessary and they're not relevant on appeal.
Was this the only difference between the prior art and the claims as identified, you know, as argued by the parties and disputed in the proceedings below?
UEI made some other arguments that were not addressed by the Board. This is the only ground that the Board relied on. But I think to your point, Judge Stoll, I think the only way that UEI could win here is if the claims were read so narrowly as to require the literal names of the communication methods to be in the list. And that's an interpretation that the board expressly disavowed in its decision on rehearing, and that's found at Appendix 29. And I think that it's also worth, just for clarity, to spend a little bit of time on the rehearing decision. If you were to simply read the final written decision in this case, you might think that the board's determination did turn on some type of claim construction, because the board appeared to read the claim to require that the system actually consult the listing to decide which communication method to use. That is how the embodiment disclosed in Figure 7 of the patent works. It actually uses the matrix to decide which communication method to use. The claim, however, doesn't require that. The claim just says that one of the two communication methods is caused to be used. And so that's why we petitioned for rehearing. We argued in our petition for rehearing that, board, you have construed the claim too narrowly. The claim does not require that the system consult the listing to decide which communication method to use. And the board, in its decision on rehearing, made very clear that it wasn't interpreting the claim that narrowly either. It says this at Appendix 32. It was not reading the claims to require that the system consult the listing to decide which communication method to be used. So the board was extremely clear in its decision on rehearing that it was finding against us based on this straightforward factual finding that even though CEC and IR are communication methods, Chardon's list of CEC command codes and IR command codes doesn't teach or suggest a list that includes two different communication methods. So that's why this is a substantial evidence appeal, not a claim construction appeal. And we'd submit that the factual finding in question is just plainly wrong and lacks any evidence, much less substantial evidence.
What about, I think that maybe they relied on, and I could be wrong, I can't remember if this is just in the briefing or in the PTAB's decision, but they relied on questions that were asked at argument, and the answer was, I don't know whether a person of ordinary skill in the art, if you put a generic command code in front of them, would say, oh yeah, I recognize this as a CEC command code or an IR command code. How do you respond to that?
I would say that's irrelevant. Whether a command code in the abstract, whether a skilled artisan could look at it on the page and say that's CEC or that's IR, I don't think that's relevant because for two reasons. First, Chardon tells us that the command codes in its database are CEC command codes and IR command codes. We don't have to guess. The disclosure is right there. And second, Chardon's system itself must be able to tell the difference because that's how it decides which command code to use. In one embodiment, for example, it tries a CEC command code first, and then if that works, great. But if it doesn't work, it will use the IR command code that corresponds to that same function and send that.
One of the things I did in preparing for today was I read your petition before the PTAB, where this particular claim limitation was addressed compared to Chardon. And I would say that there was almost a presumption in that petition that what Chardon calls command codes are in fact communication methods. Am I wrong about that? Is there some technical explanation or even logical explanation in there for why it is that the command codes are communication methods?
Well, I think what the petition was saying was that Chardon has the command codes and it literally discloses the communication method by which the command code is to be transmitted. IR is the communication method.
Do you want to tell me where you think the best place is in your petition to answer my question?
Sure. So I think maybe the easiest way to do it is if you look at our gray brief, this goes through the petition and the supporting expert testimony. So beginning at page 5 of the gray brief, we say our petition explained that Chardon creates a database of IR and CEC command codes, and that's citing Appendix 116 from the petition, and the skilled artisan would have understood this to be a listing of CEC command codes and IR command codes. And the patent itself explains that CEC and IR are communication methods. So we didn't think that that would be a point of dispute, the fact that CEC is one of the claimed communication methods and IR is one of the claimed communication methods. And then our expert went further and equated, and you can see this at Appendix 906, paragraph 205, he explicitly equated the first communication method with HDMI CEC over an HDMI cable. So I think it was very clear that we were mapping
I understand what you're saying. I really just wanted to ask a question about your petition alone, not your petition in light of the expert testimony. And so I'm looking at page A116 to 118, and I've read that, and I just didn't see where there was anything that said command codes or communication methods or explained why it is that even though the reference refers to command codes, those are in fact also communicating communication methods. It's just, it's assumed. I mean, I understand it's a basic point, but I'm just trying to ask you if there is an explanation in there.
Well, I'd also point you to Appendix 126, which is part of our petition, and this, like Dr. Russ's declaration, explicitly maps the first communication method to HDMI CEC over an HDMI cable. That's at the bottom of the page on Appendix 126. And then it says, if that first communication method fails, Chardon will then try to send to the same device an IR command code that performs the same function as the HDMI CEC command code. Thus, Chardon discloses its listed communication methods are used for controlling, or for controlling the same functional operation of the same target device. I think that's extremely...
So, well, that's in a different section.
It's in a different section, but it's talking about the same communication methods. And I think that was very clear from the petition. And I think, again, that where the board sort of went astray here is it got hung up on this fact that that a communication method in the abstract is not the same thing as a communication code. But I think that, respectfully, that's just not sort of addressing the crux of our argument here.
Counselor, did I hear you correctly? You earlier stated that you thought this was a substantial evidence case.
In light of the board's sort of agreement with our claim construction positions and its decision for rehearing, yes, I think this is a substantial evidence case.
Okay. And you seem to be arguing a different theory that the board should have adopted.
A different theory from what, Your Honor?
On the protocol-specific issue, you seem to be arguing a different theory that the PTAB should have adopted a different theory than what it did under the evidence.
I'm not sure I would put it quite that way, Your Honor. I think that the board never really grappled with the fact that the command codes in Chardon are identified as protocol specific.
I guess that's what I mean. You're arguing that basically a PTAB was wrong and that you were right, but you're dealing with one set of evidence here, and under substantial evidence you have to show that there was a lack of substantial evidence, not that you have a different theory, or even if your theory is correct. It could be that you can have two different outcomes that result from the same facts or the same record, and we have to defer to the PTAB. And here, why is it, I mean, I haven't heard you yet attack the PTAB's rationale why it's not supported by substantial evidence.
It's not because the sole sort of point that the board relied on and the sole point that UEI's expert relied on is the undisputed point that a command code is not the same thing as a communication method. That does not get the board far enough to make a reasoned decision that Chardon's list of CEC-specific command codes and IR-specific command codes doesn't teach or suggest the claim listing of multiple communication methods. The factual point that it made, that a command code is different from a communication method, is correct, but that is not sufficient for the board to find that Chardon doesn't render this limitation obvious. And that's why we'd submit that the board's decision is not supported by substantial evidence. I see I'm well into my rebuttal time. I'm happy to answer any further questions or reserve the balance.
Anything else for counsel? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Please, the court. The board's decision is supported by substantial evidence because it was responding to the very arguments that Roku made in the petition. If we look at appendix page 21, the board actually quotes from the petition. Petitioner further argues that, and then they're quoting from the petition, that Chardon's linked databases are used to control the functional operations of the intended target appliance to which they have been linked, and they do so because, quote, depending on the contents of the database for a given appliance, the remote control engine may preferentially try CEC first for that appliance and use IR as a secondary communication method. So that's what the board was responding to, that argument. And look what the board said. Petitioner's argument that the method of transmission is dependent on the contents of the database is not supported by its citations to Chardon. In Chardon's figure 5, described in paragraph 58, the remote control transmits a CEC command code first and only transmits an IR command code if no response is received, indicating that the CEC command code was received and executed by the target appliance. So when counsel argued that in the Chardon method, there's a choice of communication methods, there is no choice. First of all, a command code is not a communication method, and what the Chardon device does is sends the CEC command code by default. And if no response is received, indicating that the CEC command code was received and executed, it'll send the IR. So the board goes on, responding to Roku's argument on the next page, APPX 22. However, Chardon does not describe deciding whether to send an IR code based on consulting an EDE linked database of command codes. They made that finding because they're responding to Roku's argument about what Chardon discloses. And our position before the board was that the petitioner did not provide any analysis or expert testimony to show that Chardon's alleged use of database linked command codes meets the listing limitation. And the board agreed. We therefore agree with patent owner that petitioner provides no analysis or expert testimony to show that the alleged use of Chardon's linked database of command codes to transmit commands over two different communication methods is sufficient to disclose the claim listing. Now, one thing of note in Chardon is that Chardon does not disclose that its CEC or IR command codes are specific to only one type of communication method. They're command codes. For example, appendix page 944, paragraph 39 of Chardon, Chardon discloses that its IR command codes are configured to be transmitted in IR or RF form. Command codes and communication methods are not the same thing, and there's no dispute. A command code is an instruction to perform a function, and a communication method is a medium or protocol for transmitting or receiving information, such as command codes. And I think the board's conclusion, based on everything Roku argued in the petition, is worth noting. Quote, the record falls short of providing evidence that one of ordinary skill in the art would have understood stored command codes to act as an identification of communication methods to be used rather than a reference for codes to be used once the communication to be used is determined in some other way. This is a substantial evidence case. And all the board did was respond and deal with Roku's arguments in the petition. And based on those arguments, the board found that Roku did not, that Chardon did not read on the listing limitation. And we respectfully request that the board's judgment be affirmed.
Counsel, could you give me that site for Chardon again for where, as I understand it, you're saying the IR command codes can be sent by IR or RF, did you say?
Yes, of course, Your Honor. Configured to be transmitted in IR or RF. That's appendix page 944, and that's paragraph 39 of Chardon.
Thank you.
Do you have a theory as to how come the board, in looking at these three cases, which have many similarities in style, in the relevance of the prior art, came out with different conclusions? Is your sense that now that we're on appellate review, what we're really, the real way to look at it and the way the board handled it was whether they were dealing with claim construction or questions of law or substantial evidence as to how to resolve the kind of balance that the board seemed to strike, coming out with a different bottom line in this case as compared with the others?
I wish I had a theory, Your Honor. I think it's issue dependent. There's been a lot of briefing. On some issues, they were issues of claim construction. On some issues, they were issues of substantial evidence. But if I had a theory, Your Honor, with all due respect, I would be sitting where you are. And I don't have a theory.
Okay. Neither do I.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
I got five theories. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd just like to make three brief points. The first goes to Judge Stoll, your question about the fact that some of the command codes in Chardon can be transmitted by either IR or RF. All that shows is that those command codes are associated with both the IR communication method and the RF communication method. And so that would mean that Chardon's list includes more than two communication methods. So I don't think that undercuts our argument at all. The second point is I heard a lot during my friend's argument about the fact that, as the board found in its final written decision, Chardon does not consult its database of command codes to decide which communication method to use. That is true, but that is not required by the claims. And the board did not find that that was required by the claims. You can see that in the rehearing decision at Appendix 32. And so that is not a meaningful distinction in the context of asking whether Chardon discloses the limitations of these claims. And then the final point that I'd like to make, and this goes both to my friend's point that, you know, the board responded to the arguments we made in the petition, and also, Judge Reyna, back to your question about, you know, why isn't the board's theory sort of sufficient? And I think that it's made very clear at Appendix 30 to 31, which is part of the board's decision on rehearing. And the board is talking about this dispute about whether a list of protocol-specific CEC and IR command codes teaches or suggests a listing comprised of two different communication methods. And the board says, the hearing transcript reflects this dispute. We ask patent owner if a communication code indicates which method should be used, why, you know, wouldn't Chardon's database meet the limitation of the claim? The patent owner responded with their point that my friend made again, that a command code is different than a communication method. And then the board accurately characterized our argument in response, which has been the same throughout the petition, the reply, the oral hearing, and on appeal, that Chardon is not talking about a generic command code database. Going on to Appendix 31, Chardon is talking about a very specific list of CEC command codes and a very specific list of IR command codes. And then counsel at the oral hearing further made the point that Chardon has to be able to figure out which is which, because otherwise it wouldn't be able to choose one to send. But then, in actually reaching its conclusion, the board doesn't address that argument. It says, in short, the record shows that the issue of whether a command code teaches a communication method was in dispute, and we decided in favor of patent owner on that issue. That completely elides the actual crux of the dispute, which
Didn't the board also make reference to the testimony to Universal's expert testimony in this regard? That's at Appendix 19, and this is Extra Turnbull. He provided evidence that's different from what you're saying.
No, Your Honor. His evidence was solely that a communication method is not the same thing as a command code, and I have a cite for that. You can find this testimony from their expert at Appendix 3034.
I'm referring to his testimony that listing the command codes is not a listing of communications methods.
I'm sorry, where are you referring to?
On Appendix 19. Mm-hmm. The board cited Universal's expert for his testimony that a person skilled in the art would have understood that a listing of command codes is not a listing of communication methods.
And they're citing this testimony where the patent owner's expert said a command code is not a communication method. And my point is that is just simply not enough to get us to the conclusion that Chardon's list...
Is that substantial evidence?
No, Your Honor. It is.
Why?
Because the Chardon does not simply disclose a list of command codes, full stop. It discloses a list of CEC and IR command codes. Chardon contains hardware that is able to send those two different types of command codes, and Chardon is able to tell the difference between those two types of command codes because it chooses to use one transmission medium first and then a second transmission medium second. And so, no, it is not substantial evidence to conclude that that disclosure doesn't render the claim obvious. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under submission.